Say the verse which we are reading today. Some say this is where the Bhagavatam starts. It's the first answer to the first question Parikshit Maharaj had asked: what is the duty of someone who is mortal, who is soon to die? And the answer is given: constant chanting of the holy name. Please repeat after me.
Etani vidyamananam. Etani vidyamananam. Ichatam akuto bhayam. Yoginam nipane nita. Ade namanu kirtana. Etan nivityamananam. Ichatam akuto bhayam. Yoginam nripani nitam.
Yoginam nripani nitam.
Hare namanu kirtana.
Hare namanu kirtana.
Please, someone else of you chant. Yes, Matajis, please. Completely free from all material desires. Ichatam. Of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Akuta bhayam.
Akuta bhayam.
free from all doubts and fear.
Free from all doubts and fear.
Yoginam.
Yoginam.
Of all who are self-realized. Nripa. O King. Nirnitam.
Decided truth.
Arihe. Of the Lord Shri Krishna. Nama. Holy name.
Anu.
After someone.
After someone.
Always. Kirtanam. What is that? Chanting the holy name, yes, loud. Oh. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the vase of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are already free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are deeply satisfied within themselves by dint of transcendental knowledge. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashadari Shadarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Govardhanavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Purport. Now Srila Prabhupada will describe that there are three types of people who are on the path of life, three different types of people who live differently. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. First person tries to be satisfied by going outside, getting more wealth, more material satisfaction. The second type goes inside and understands, I don't need anything. I'm eternal already. I'm full of bliss, full of knowledge, so why should I work so hard to get something which lies outside? I remember there is a famous story about one American man who represents the materialist, and he goes, I believe it was in India, to a simple man who is a fisher and who is very satisfied, and he says, the American man, what are you doing? Well, I'm going for three hours out for maintenance of my family. I go to the ocean and then I sit with friends the rest of the time. We listen to music, we like to sing, we eat fruits, and we talk, we have friends. Oh, said the American man, you're wasting your life. You can go 6 hours on the boat in the ocean and then make so much more money. And then what will I do with the money? Yes, you build up your company. Then you have 8 boats and 8 fishermen. Then you develop a huge factory. Oh, and become the richest man on the coast. Yes, and then what do I do? Says the person. What then you do? But you're so rich. Then you take care of your business maybe 3 hours a day, and then you sit with your friends, listen to music, relax, enjoy the life. The simple man said, but I'm doing this already now. Why should I go and make all this huge, huge effort? And then the American man was, you have a good point here. So we take this point a step further, the transcendentalist. He is happy inside. Because after all, happiness is an inside thing. Either you have it inside or you will not find it outside. However, there's a third type of person. No? This was the two types of persons. Above these type of people are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord Shri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. No, nothing for us. No need. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. So three types of people. A materialist who runs outside, the transcendentalist who says, no need to go outside, let me stay happy inside. And then there's a third person. He has a different outlook to life. It's not about his satisfaction. It's also not at all. He wants to satisfy the Lord. What have you done today to satisfy the Lord? Have you already done something, or something is just now coming? A good question. No? What will we do today to please Krishna, to give him pleasure? Not, we have many ideas maybe what we will do. Then I will eat breakfast. Then I go to town. Then after the weekend, I drive with my motorcycle to Split. There will be a good wind on my hair. I'm trying not to... You understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to make the point. Or another may say, then I will manage this purse, this place, and I will, people will be satisfied with me, or I will have, this is not a devotional line. Devotional line starts, okay, what will I do today to please Krishna? It's an interesting concept, isn't it? It's totally different. What? I should think of something I do which is just for Krishna. Like I know if I want to do something for one of you, I will have to think very carefully. What will please him? I know I have one God brother. He is the master in giving presents. He thinks for 1.5 year what present would please you. And then he goes to India, he goes on the market, and he looks for the present. He has sometimes 20 people who help him. He's a very prominent God brother. Just with the idea, how will I please this person? And that's necessary if you want to become a bhakta. You have to think like this. What can I do to please Krishna? Should I go closer to this? No, yes, please tell me. I'm not so good with technological things. As loud as possible, maybe for the internet audience, or is that the idea? Good. So now in this text, Shukadev Goswami gives a program. He says, for devotees, there's one thing where you are absolutely free of doubts, that there is no need to discuss it. It is to chant constantly the holy name of the Lord. That will please Krishna. Krishna, there's a Sanskrit word, he likes if people glorify him. He's pleased by this. I think you are all, you can understand if I would glorify, oh, Mario is such a wonderful person. Oh, good, someone appreciates me. We also have this a little bit, this quality, but Krishna likes, imagine or not, that his devotees come before him and glorify him. That gives him pleasure. He's highly satisfied by this. he has no, you know, he's, some of us are, when someone glorifies us, we feel sometimes a little miserable. We think, oh, it's really not like this. I know there's one God brother of mine who's very able to glorify everyone, but sometimes it feels, oh no, please don't glorify me like this. We feel not satisfied really in the heart, because we feel I'm very fallen. The truth should be told about me, not some excessive glorification. But for Krishna, Krishna is to be glorified. Many saints and rishis come together to glorify his qualities, and they try to come to the end of the qualities, but there's always more to say about Krishna. There's always more subject matter for glorification, because Krishna is the absolute truth. There is no end to his glorification. And if we glorify him and chant him, we are always right. It's always proper. There is never excessive glorification. That means too much. It's always truthful. And now comes a very important point. For us, it is much more important to glorify Krishna than for him to hear his glorification. Because the way you come close to Krishna is through, you have to first come close to his holy name. That's how everything starts. When you come close to his holy name, you come close to his form, the way he looks, you come close to his wonderful qualities, like his forgiveness, you become, and his compassion, you come close actually also to the spiritual world, and you become eventually an associate of the Lord who participates in his amazing pastimes. So the holy name is really our first starting point in Krishna consciousness. You cannot approach Krishna directly from his lila, his pastimes, for instance, or you must go through the name, because first it's the first introduction. But now listen to this: the name is Krishna himself. Binadvang nama namino, says the Padma Purana, that because he is the absolute truth, who's non-different from his body, it's not that Krishna is a soul who has a body like all of us. No, Krishna is his beautiful form. He's identical with his senses. Every sense of him can perform the sense of another sense. He can eat with his eyes, for instance, because he is absolute. There's no differentiation like in our case. And there is also no differentiation or no difference between him and his name. And when you chant his name, you are together with him. Now, therefore, Sridhar Swami, in his commentary to this verse, says that there is nothing in the world which is more beneficial than the chanting of the holy name. However, the learned Jiva Goswami adds one very heavy condition. He says, this is true, there is no greater benefit from chanting than chanting. However, you have almost no benefit if you chant in the wrong way. You must chant in the right way. You must chant avoiding the 10 offenses. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in the rest of his purport, will talk in detail. It's a beautiful detailed description on the 10 offenses and how to avoid them. He goes into great detail, and I remember once in Paris, in the town, Prabhupada gave an initiation ceremony there, and he had someone read from this second canto the entire purport. We sat there, it's 20 minutes long, and where he had described how to avoid the 10 offenses. It's a really nice personal reading matter. I'm afraid, because it's very long, if I read it now, we will not be able to be very focused. Why is this so? See, if you continue with your activity which are based on your ego, you will be selfish, and that means you will offend others, you will offend God even, because you are in the center of your life, and you want others to serve you. You do not wish to serve others. You also don't wish to serve Krishna. You want to enjoy Krishna consciousness for your own purposes at that moment. So, when you are like this, in an totally under the control of your false identity and your ego, at that time, clouds come and cover you from the sun of the holy name. Today, the sun is shining very beautifully, but we cannot experience the benefit of the sun rays because of the clouds. It's a cloudy Ljubljana day. I understand if finally we are happy that there's summer rain. There was so much dryness this summer in Slovenia. It was scandalous. Now finally some rainwater comes. So this I want you to really know. My dear devotees, Krishna is present when you chant. But as long as you have the clouds and the fog of your offenses and avidya in the way, you just cannot see Krishna in all of this. This, therefore, Jiva Goswami says, yes, the chanting is beneficial, but you must avoid the 10 offenses. My dear devotees, when I found this out, I don't know why you joined the Krishna consciousness movement. I joined in the beginning just to have a good adventure. I understood this would be a very adventurous life, but then later, when I understood this is not right, Krishna consciousness movement, you can actually meet God. Wow! I thought that's good. Let me try to meet the Lord through the process of devotional service, bhakti. So then later I began to understand this, and then I thought very deeply, how do I do this? How do I come in contact with Krishna through my service? And I understood I have to avoid the offenses. And now, since many, many years, I'm trying my best to really work patiently in avoiding these offenses and becoming a selfless person, not an egoistic person. Someone who wishes well even to his enemies. That's not easy. People who hurt you, but to really try to wish well for them. That is necessary if you want to develop love of Krishna. So because that's more important than anything else for me now. I'm also now an old man, and my god brothers are dying left and right, and I'm thinking I will also die, so better try to take this serious, this Krishna conscious process. And my tip to you is, wake up as soon as possible and take it serious as soon as possible. Don't wait like me until you become an old man and the energy leaves you. Do it now. Now is the best time. So therefore I'm trying to work very seriously on my chanting, because this is the only way I can meet Krishna. Jiva Goswami, he's one of the main philosophers. He is also a personal associate of Radharani in the spiritual world. He describes, he gives a point why he says chanting is so important. He gives one Krama Sandarbha, a description in the 7th canto to one verse where he says, what is the sequence in which Krishna will ultimately appear in your heart? When will he appear in your heart? And he says, the first point is, a devotee must hear and chant the holy name of the Lord, because then he will develop purity in his heart. His heart will become free from all the unwanted things. So only after the heart is pure and free from all the rubbish we say in English, new word for me, garbage I used to say, but rubbish is better. Only when the heart is free from the contamination, then it is fit for the Lord to appear. And as you chant, you will then see his beautiful form. You will remember his qualities. And finally, you will see his pastimes, which will blossom before your eyes. You know, here we have some good support in our new temple decoration. This was not here last year. It is a new improvement. You can see this now with your eyes, but this will be present in your heart as you make it a pure place for the Lord to appear. Just imagine. And you will not just see it like you see a painting. You will actually become totally touched as you see it, totally ecstatic as you are with Krishna. And the world will not be important for you. And even if there are ups and downs, you don't care because you have found the greatest treasure. And one day, you will find yourself entering into the spiritual reality which is reflected in your heart. Can you see behind Ekangini, there is this painting? You will actually move that type of road in Vrindavan, and then you will hear the sound of the flute, you will hear happy laughter and happy talk, Lord Shri Krishna, and you will look down your own body and whoops, it's no longer a Slovenian passport holder. Whatever. You will see it as a totally effulgent spiritual body. This comes, but first the heart must be purified, because that's In the heart, we need the heart. Prabhupada described it to be like a spiritual television set in which all this is becoming present. No? It's in the heart, and you need to purify it a little. It needs to be clean a little. Krishna. Please do not doubt this. Please, the text says it's doubtless, and you don't need to be afraid of this. So I want to just end. Maybe Padmakshi, you can take this and give me this. Here's a good place to put it. Can I drink a glass of water, please? Good. It's good for the voice. I'm back in action. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. It's most important. Then he adds, if one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of God. And Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport to this. This verse comes in the Antya-lila, 4th chapter, text 71. He says, this chanting does not depend on any paraphernalia. See, that's why it's so nice. You don't need a car to chant. You don't need an airplane to chant. There's nothing outside of you. You have already everything which you need. This chanting does not depend on any paraphernalia or on having taken one's birth in a good family. You can come even from a very normal family, no problem. But then he says, one thing is necessary, however, by humility and meekness. Humility and meekness one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the statement of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can very easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna and Kali Yuga. Why do we have to become humble? I was often asking this myself when I first joined the movement. Why always? I'm from North Germany. We are not humble people. Why do I have to change this? Because, see, the ego is not humble. It's not meek. Well, sometimes you get into a minority complex, or you have something in your personality, then you are externally very humble and meek, you know. But it's still the ego in another disguise, you know. Oh, I'm so useless. Oh, I'm so unintelligent. Oh, this is not humbleness and meekness. This is still the ego in another disguise. Humility means, if you really want to be humble, doesn't mean to think great of yourself or to think less of yourself, or I'm so useless. It means to just not think of yourself so much any longer. either if you're talented or totally untalented like me, it's not the point. You are not so important, Mr. Unimportant. It means you think about Krishna. You change the subject matter totally. And then you come to what we say, then you become free from your false identity, from your either where you think I'm so talented or so untalented. It's the same thing. It's a false identity. It's a false ego. So humility is more than just a nice feeling where others like you. You know, oh, such nice person. He's not a troublemaker. He's a humble soul. No, this is not the idea. Humility means you think of yourself from a deep spiritual place in relationship to Krishna. I am a soul. I am a part of Krishna. This makes you at once very tolerant to the external circumstances in which you find yourself. In Sweden, I learned something new about humility. Can I tell you? Humility, the word comes from the word humus. I don't know if this is an English word. I have to turn to my English speaking people. Humus. I have never heard it. It's actually a German word. Humus. Yeah. It's a very, very nice earth. Yeah. Hummus. Yes, hummus. Yes, I know. You just say it with some English pronunciation. Hummus. Is that the word? Someone has mobile telephone? It can help us. Hummus is a chickpea paste, so that's not the right word we are looking at. Hummus in Slovenia. What is it in English? Hummus. It says hummus. Yeah, I know English. Hummus. See. Yes. It's a special earth. I think Madana Manohar will know. Hummus. Yeah, this special type of earth plant can grow from it. Very nice plants can grow to it. So this meekness and humility is really the foundation for an ecstatic spiritual life, because the plant of bhakti can grow in it. The bhakti cannot grow in your inner heart which doesn't have this hummus. That is what the voice said, isn't it? Humus in the Slovenian language. Humus. You know, if you don't have this earth, the plant, this good earth, there will be no minerals in your earth, and so on. So if you have not this humility in your heart, your bhakti is not nourished. It's like a plant in a desert. So this feeling of, ah, Krishna, Krishna, I'm really in need of your mercy. On my own strength, I cannot chant the holy name. O Gurudev, please make me an instrument in service. Without these feelings, there is no nourishment for your bhakti, and your bhakti becomes dry, small plant, and it withers away and dies. It's the exact opposite of of this false ego. No? The false ego will nourish you for your material activity. But for your spiritual activity, you do need, this is called in Sanskrit, dainya. It comes from a deeply spiritual place, and it is in relationship to Krishna. And we all know this. When we sit down for the kirtan, in great material, in a lot of distraction, thinking so much about material subjects, about our plans, or having this feeling of being spiritually not fulfilled, but not acknowledging it, you know, just being dull, we cannot really chant. But if we chant from this place, oh Krishna, I really need you, I want to glorify you, I want to please you with my activities, I so much need you now, I need the association of devotees, the chanting is the best experience in your spiritual life. But without this feeling, you have not given the ground, the proper earth, the humus, so that the plant of your bhakti can grow. I wish you all a really very, very nice time in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, for the Holy Name retreat. It's not a holy name retreat. I'm giving so many retreats. I'm getting. Where are we here? For the Holy Name Weekend. This is called the Holy Name Weekend. I really wish you, that you can absorb yourself. I know some of our devotees will who live in Zagreb, and there are other programs in Zagreb in the temple. Please, if you have time in your cars or so on, listen to the recordings. Maybe there is very nice internet presence of the Holy Name Weekend. We have some really, in Slovenia, very good trained devotees to put on internet, and then you can participate. Please let us stay as many as possible, as much as possible, together and glorify the Holy Name. And the Bhagavatam says, therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, no? chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. Wouldn't that be nice? Krishna's always in the heart, Mahajwala. The whole life would change. You wouldn't need anything else. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as Bhagavat Pradhan, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Hare Krishna. I will end here. I hope you have taken some enthusiasm, some very good inspiration out of this class. I hope you will dedicate yourself through more and more to the holy name, working more and more in your life on removing the obstacles to proper chanting. And it would be so nice if in each one of your heart Krishna is always present, then the purpose of your human form of life has been reached. And it's simple in a sense that there is not so much you have to do and learn. You have to focus on the chanting and avoid the offenses, because Krishna is the purest of all gentlemen. He will not sit in an impure heart. That's not his atmosphere. It's not his place. Good. I will end here. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.